Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Radio Islam International. Sorry, we had a little bit of a problem there. I was discussing the diseases of the heart, and we were introducing our guest speaker. Her name is Tasneem, Sister Tasneem Dadabai. She's a specialist holistic counselor with honors in psychology, and she's going to explain to us more about the different diseases of the heart. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program, Sister Tasneem.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Apasaraya?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well.
JazakAllah for having me again.
No problem. So, Sister Tasneem, can you tell us what are the reasons people have the different diseases like jealousy, hatred, greed, lust? What are the reasons these things happen?
Okay. When we look at jealousy, Apasuraya, jealousy isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's human nature. It's natural to feel jealous, right? Mm-hmm. But it becomes a problem when we act out in jealousy. When it actually starts to consume you and it creeps into every aspect of our life, that's when it becomes an actual problem. Mm-hmm. And when you find yourself feeling bitter or angry often, we often tend to feel jealous about others' successes, strengths, lifestyles, and relationships, you know. Mm-hmm. And Afa, we all know about social media, and social media can also trigger jealousy. Today, alhamdulillah, our online and our offline worlds overlap. And sometimes the lives we portray on social media appear to be perfect. And a lot of times this could actually open the door for the evil eye, and people become jealous.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about social media, I'd like to talk a little bit more about that, because we all tend to be very active on social media when it comes to Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. There's so many different platforms. And, you know, we see our friends on social media. They mention aspects of their lives. Alhamdulillah, they appear to be very happily married. There's a lot of material wealth that people display on Instagram and social media. And especially along the around holiday season, we see everybody traveling overseas, and, you know, showing off their successful careers. And alhamdulillah, when it's awards evening, you know, with kids at school, we see all these lovely children getting all these beautiful awards. And, you know, may Allah bless all with the best of happiness. But we need to be aware that by doing so, we are actually opening a door to bringing the evil eye upon ourselves.
That's so true.
So, you know, we need to be so careful about what we portray and how we portray ourselves on social media. So as us, the observers, looking at all of these profiles, we actually need to say, mashallah. Because not every blessing needs to be broadcast to the world. You know, we need people that are broadcasting these type of things need to make a lot of shukr and be very grateful for all the ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. And at the same time, people that are looking at these profiles need to say, mashallah, barakallah, you know, wish them good. That, you know, we don't have the feelings of hasad and envy and jealousy within our hearts. And in the same light, we can't also blame every mishap and calamity on the evil eye.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a very, very powerful hadith in the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that jealousy actually eats away at good deeds, just as fire eats away at wood. And you know, when I read this hadith, it made so much of sense that this is what jealousy does. It actually takes away all our good deeds. So, Abbasullah, we really, and then the listeners out there, we really need to be very careful what kind of feelings go through our hearts when we see all of this on social media.
And it's so true what you're saying, is that you're never going to know. Like, as you say, everyone should say mashallah and barakallah. Some of us would do it, but there's a lot that are not going to. So why put yourself in that situation?
Exactly.
So, you know, why open yourself up to things like this? Rather keep it a secret between your own family, you know?
Yes. And you see on social media, we actually trigger off jealousy because, you know, you might believe someone's life is much easier or more comfortable than yours. And if you have insecurities and underlying jealousy, we actually feel threatened. And, you know, we don't feel good enough. when we see things like this.
Yes, true.
So, you know, when people who develop secure attachments in their early years, this is very important from a psychological point of view. We actually need to introspect and reflect on our early years. You know, people that are struggling with feelings like hatred and animosity and jealousy and hatred. So look at your early years and think about your relationships between yourself and your earliest caregivers. And most of the time, it's our relationships with our parents, you know. So people that grew up very independent and had a lot of love and a lot of care between their caregivers are less likely to be jealous. They end up being more independent. Alhamdulillah, they have a higher self-esteem, less feelings of fear, less feelings of inadequacy. So always ask yourself these three questions. Think, number one, so how was my relationship with my mom early years? You know, because that feelings of attachment and love and that need for love, praise and approval all starts there in the very, very early years of childhood. The second question you can ask yourself, what was the atmosphere in my home when I was growing up? Was it warm and loving or was it more critical? Because children that tend to grow up in a very critical home that are very, you know, picked on or criticized for everything that they do without that warmth and love end up feeling very insecure as adults. And then the third question from a psychological point of view is you can always ask yourself, do you have a constant feeling of not being good enough? And a lot of us struggle with this. You know, I mean, I see it on a daily basis in my practice that a lot of people struggle with this feeling of not being good enough. And a lot of times it comes from early childhood experiences. But again, I'm going to stress that jealousy is a normal reaction. But it does become problematic when it becomes persistent. When you find yourself feeling jealous, recognize what's happening and delve deeper into your relationships and yourself. And a good trained therapist can really help you dig deep into your soul and see where these feelings are coming from. So the most important thing, I think, is just to become aware and to recognize the jealousy. You know, when we name it and we label the jealousy, it actually loses its power because we're no longer letting it shame us and overpower us. So I think the main thing is just acknowledging that you are, you know, if you do struggle with these feelings, that you are a jealous person, and it just opens up this whole new door to learning, and alhamdulillah, just learning to know yourself better, because man arafa nafsahu, man arafa rabbahu, they who know themselves, truly they know their Lord.
True. And I find that really something that you say, it stems from childhood. I never thought about it that way.
Yes. It's quite deep-seated. It goes quite back far into our earliest childhood experiences.
So say it does. Say it does go right back to your childhood. Now you want to rectify it. Psychologically, can it be controlled?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Like I said, the first thing is just to recognize, because awareness is the first step towards change. We need to learn from our jealousy. We can use feelings of jealousy as inspiration to grow. For instance, you realize that the reason you get jealous every time your friend takes her lovely cakes is because that's also something you'd always like to do.
Yeah.
So rather than wallowing in their jealousy and, you know, being envious over her beautiful baking, you can sign up for a baking class or baking lessons and, you know, try and get that skill going and try to build up confidence by learning a new skill. But if you look into it, there's a lot of causes behind jealousy. It goes way back. So it's starting with lack of self-worth. So we lack confidence. Sometimes we have a poor self-image. Sometimes it's just neuroticism, you know, which generally tendencies to be moody or anxious and emotionally unstable people. A lot of people suffer from different kinds of fears, feelings of inadequacy, fear of abandonment. And like I said, it's very difficult to just label these emotions because you have to really go back deep into your childhood and see where all these insecurities lie and where we have dependency issues with. And then looking at it, you know, if you're really suffering with it, you can always speak to a trained therapist and she can guide you through these emotions and see where it's actually starting from.
Would you be able to go back that far? Like many of us can't even remember so much those feelings.
I think with a skilled trained therapist, it's highly possible that you can, inshallah.
Okay, so you basically need, you need guidance. Someone can maybe guide you towards it and how to get
especially if it becomes a problem.
Mm.
Yeah. Sometimes jealousy can be justified. For example, I have a lot of clients, if your spouse has had an affair or you've been betrayed, you know, your trust has been betrayed in the past, then they actually have justified for feeling
this way.
It's a
natural reaction.
You know, it's a natural reaction to the circumstance. But this also needs therapy. And slowly, slowly, inshallah, they can work through it. Also, a lot of ladies come in feeling very jealous that their husband's going to take a second wife. And, you know, you need to express these feelings about monogamy with your spouse. And you need to come to a general state of understanding. But I think this just opens up a whole other field and a whole sphere of spectrum of conversation that you need to have these open lines of communication with your spouse.
Right.
Yeah, but I think when you're finding yourself getting jealous over little things, you're not showing love. You're actually revealing your own insecurities.
Mm.
So I think that's also very important.
Yeah,
to look
that's
at.
Like a deeper issue that you need to rectify within yourself if you want to change.
When it's not justified by circumstance.
Right. And and you said like sometimes it is justified, but you have to obviously seek help because it can blow out of control. And the thing
definitely.
Is that what do you do then, like how do you know as a person, right, now I've reached a point where I need help. When do you need help?
I think when things really go out of proportion, you know. But it's important to understand that what Allah has not given one, what Allah has given one, He has not given another.
Yes.
And Allah says so Himself in the Quran that He has favored us and blessed us in all different ways. And Allah has actually forbidden us, and He says so in Surah Nisa, that Allah has forbidden us from desiring what others have. And Allah says so Himself in the Quran, He says, do not wish for what we have favored some of you over others. So always look to those below you. You know, there's a lot of reference in Quran and Hadith. And always, Allah is always reminding us of the ni'mat and bounties that He's blessed us with. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But we are allowed to be envious in two situations, according to the Hadith. In the case of a man where Allah has given the Quran and he recites it throughout the night and day. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something to that effect in the Hadith.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if you have this knowledge of Quran and this man is reciting so much of Quran that he can recite the entire night and the entire day, we should be envious of these people, subhanAllah.
Mm-hmm.
And on a man also that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him and bestowed him with so much of wealth that he can give his entire wealth throughout the day and the entire night, he can give his wealth away, and his wealth will still not be depleted. So in cases like this, inshallah, we should actually be envious of people that have that bounty that Allah has blessed them with.
Of course. In deen, we should be. The Sahaba used to also vie with each other, Abu Bakr and Umar. They would always want to be better than the other when it came to deen. But when it came to everything else, they treated each other the same and like brothers. So, yeah, it is a lesson for us to learn.
Yeah.
And there are so many, obviously, aspects of jealousy and hatred. But I think acknowledgement is one.
Mm-hmm.
We have to acknowledge why we're jealous, and I'm sure that's going to take some time. And nearing to near Ramadan now, we need to start pinpointing what it is that controls our lives or controls our thoughts. Then only can we go forward. And
definitely,
you know,
I think in order for us to go forward, we actually need to take a step back. And when I say take a step back and look at yourself. If you find you're consistently focusing hateful feelings towards another, it's time to actually take a step back and take a good look at yourself and ask yourself, why am I angry with this person? How has this person wronged me? Does this person actually affect my life? Start your journey through self-awareness with introspection, inshallah. Like I said, this is the perfect time for introspection because we're going to go through this whole process of Ramadan. And Ramadan is not only just for physical detoxing, but inshallah, it's also for emotional and spiritual detoxing. So we should all just start by asking ourselves, how do these thoughts actually serve us?
Yes.
When I hold on to these beliefs, when I hold on to these feelings, what do I gain out of it? How am I growing, or how is it hindering me? So, if you allow me to just go through, how do we actually get rid of jealousy?
Okay.
Would you like me to go through? some of those steps?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I think number one, with Ramadan coming, like you said, it's very important to have that spiritual connection. So inshallah, to make a lot of dua, you know, and always asking Allah for Siratul Mustaqim, that Allah Ta'ala guide your heart and cleanse your heart and open your heart, because these are all diseases of the heart that we need to be cleansed from and rid ourselves from. And then number two, inshallah, if we can just ponder over the meanings of the surah, and I'm sure others discussed it, that there are so many surahs and Quranic ayahs pertaining to jealousy and the remedy towards jealousy.
Mm.
We all know we can read our idol kursis, our Surah Mulk and the called Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Bi Falaq. These all are, you know, prescriptions against all of these feelings of jealousy. We can also read the seerah, and what I find very beneficial, a very beautiful book on the biography of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by the name is The Sealed Nectar. Just reading these and seeing how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also combated these feelings and, you know, dealt with the Jews were so jealous of him, and the Kuffar at that time were so jealous of him, and how he dealt with it. So there's so many lessons in there for us to learn from. And then also stories of the Sahaba, reading from the Fazail al-Amal and books like that, where, you know, there's so many stories about jealousy and hatred and hasad and animosity, and how the Sahabas actually dealt with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think also very importantly is to ask refuge from the shaitan, because he's always making waswasa and always, you know,
instigating
these feelings that we have. So it's also our nafs and to, you know, combat that, and also to ask Allah to seek refuge from the shaitan.
Mm-hmm.
And then also to, I read a very beautiful saying by Ibn Taymiyyah, and he said that, you know, something to that effect, that nobody is free from hasad, but the noble person hides it while the base person actually shows it. So it's very important that even if we are having these ill feelings, just hide it. Don't show it.
You have to know how to control
it. Yes, you need to learn to control it, because it, like I said, it's human nature to feel these things, but it's, you don't have to act upon it.
So, we have a question. My daughter is 13 and constantly lies. I read that it's out of fear, but I don't think that's the case with her. We gave her the benefit of the doubt a few times, but now it's becoming a huge problem. Why is this?
A lot of people start lying, it becomes pathological. You know, it becomes a sickness where they constantly feel this need to lie. I think it's very important to open lines of communication and to really sit down with your daughter and have an, you know, this open medium of communication, because a lot of times, like you said, it's based on fear. Fear of abandonment, fear of disappointment, fear of, you know, they have all kinds of fear. And it's very difficult over the phone to tell you these things, but once you speak to her, inshallah, it should come more to light. And if that doesn't work, then you can always seek professional assistance.
Yeah, because obviously if it's a problem, as she says, they have tried everything else.
Yeah.
It's going to become a problem if you don't seek professional help.
If it becomes pathological, then they won't need to seek professional guidance.
Okay.
Another
right.
way, one more. Can I just go?
Yes.
So it's another thing that I found from Hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said an important thing to do is to shake hands, for this will dispel bitterness, and exchange gifts and love one another for this, and it will also dispel hatred, something to that effect. So
it's
very important for us to buy gifts now that Ramadan's coming and Eid's coming, and also to shake hands with your mahrams and shake hands with those ladies that, you know, you feel this animosity to. It actually increases the love and it dispels the hatred. Mm-hmm. And this is advice from the Sunnah.
Yes, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised women especially to exchange gifts, because we do have that animosity between us, and it's guaranteed to dispel it. Obviously, if you feel something towards someone else, but then you receive a gift from them, it dispels it. It's just a natural reaction. We all like gifts.
Alhamdulillah. There's so much of psychology in the Hadith and Quran.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah, Sister Tasneem. Awesome
so
as always. Inshallah, we look forward to having you again. We want to do a discussion on anger, a program on anger. We're receiving a lot of messages about it, and how, especially nearing Ramadan and everyone's tempers are flaring. So inshallah, we'll have you again, Sister Tasneem. Jazakallah for your time.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And there you have it. That was Sister Tasneem Darabai, and Sister Tasneem is a specialist holistic counselor with her honors in psychology. She does one-on-one consults as well. So if you would like her number, please, you can email me on sudeya@radioislamlive.com. Okay, after the break, we are going to be speaking about exams in Ramadan, something that's on the top of everyone's list, and all the mummies are very, very anxious about it. So let's speak more about tips on this, inshallah, after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Radio Islam International. You are listening to Productive Muslima with me, Suraya Chauhan. Before the break, we had Sister Tasneem with some very valuable advices on the diseases of the heart, and she went through certain things to purify the heart. So just to touch on some of those things, I found out that the best way to polish your heart is by tazkiyah, which is purification through dhikr. And for hardness of the heart, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised a man who came to him and said that his heart was so hard. He said to him, stroke the head of an orphan and give him something to eat. So this is definitely reformation for hardness of the heart. You know, sometimes we have so many diseases that and sins. And the more sins that pile on, the more difficult and harder the heart is to remember Allah. So another thing is to remember death in abundance and to recite the Holy Quran and to keep good company. So these are some of the things we can do to soften our hearts. And obviously by looking at situations, orphans and all of those things, it makes our hearts soft. We tend to feel sad for these types of people, and remembering death, or of course, and dua for yourself. You know, when you make dua, a call to Allah by His names, Al-Wahhab, which is the giver, ask Allah, you give me a pure heart. To Allah's name, Al-Wadud, the ever-loving, fill my heart with love. Everything, there's a name of Allah for everything. So we constantly use these different things. Dua is the best tool. So we start with that, we acknowledge it, and we try to change, inshallah. Now, coming back to exams in Ramadan. So I have a lot of mummies that are saying their kids are writing exams, and it's so difficult, and we don't know what to do, and how is it, how, and can they not fast? So firstly, I think it's our attitude and our response. We make our children feel as though they have a choice. They actually don't. If they are baligh, they don't have a choice. So this thing about not keeping your fast and covering it up later, it's not allowed. There's no reason to. Remember that the Sahaba, during the Battle of Badr, they were all fasting. It was in the month of Ramadan, a great battle. The heat was severe, and they fasted. So when we feel, or when we pass on this attitude to our kids that, you know, it's going to be so difficult, even if it's easy for them, they are also going to make excuses. So I think we should start, because the change starts with us, obviously. We should tell our kids that it's fine. It's not a big deal. It's just a paper. There's nothing major about a paper. You can work around it. People are doing what they do every day. I mean, you don't find the fathers stopping work, or the mothers stopping work, or not cooking anymore. We all carry on the same way. Allah hasn't brought this month to be difficult. It's to be easy. But we just have to incorporate it into our lives. So don't make it a huge problem. There is no problem. You can work around this. Now, some of the tips for Ramadan. Firstly, is to be grateful. Tell your children, and you yourself, be grateful, because some of the countries, like Syria, people are fasting without shelter, without food, but they're fasting. If there should be an excuse, it should be for them, for the war-torn countries. So let's be grateful that we're just writing an exam, and we're lucky to be writing an exam. people would kill to study. So be grateful, count Allah's blessings and ni'mas. Secondly, you can handle it. As I said, during the Battle of Badr, the Sahaba were fasting. So we can handle it, and it's a mindset. Change the mindset and tell yourself that yes, I've accepted it. Firstly, accept it, and then you can work out ways to combat it. The third thing is to embrace your challenge. So plan your time effectively. Because it's in Ramadan, you are going to be pushed for time. There's Taraweeh after Isha Salah. So yes, you will be pushed for time. So what you do is you plan your time. And everything happens with planning. You can't go into Ramadan not having a plan. So set a timetable. And the best time to study would be after Suhoor, because you've just eaten and you can sit down and you can have... Your brain is now nourished and you can now sit and study. And another time would obviously be after iftar. And then the time during the day when you are hungry, use that time to just revise over your work. And make sure that there's time set aside for your Quran and all of the rest. You know, try and get help from those who you can, your tutors, guidance, past papers. There's so many things that you can start equipping yourself from now, with now, and so that in Ramadan it's not difficult. So try and finish what's difficult now before Ramadan. And then another thing is to not work under pressure. If you like me, and when I write exams, I'm always studying under pressure, leaving things for the last minute. But this isn't healthy, and especially not in Ramadan. If you've been doing it, then definitely not in Ramadan. So in Ramadan, try and prepare beforehand, before Ramadan, and so that you just have to revise closer to the time, and you don't get use your entire day now cramming things, and then you're missing your salah or, you know, your ibadah, etc. And then nutrition is very important. Since you are going to be fasting, make sure that you have a wholesome suhoor. Make lots of dua. One of my students said to me once that one of her papers were in Ramadan, and she said it was so difficult. Well, she thought it's going to be so difficult. And at the end of it, she had a distinction in that paper, because she said, you know, she just made so much of dua, and Allah is so merciful. His mercy is more in Ramadan than out of Ramadan. So use this, make dua and ask Allah. You know, everything happens with a sincere intention. So if we have an intention that we want to be good at this, we want to do well, but we also want to make the most of Ramadan, ask Allah, speak to Him, tell Him your problems, tell Him that, you know, it's difficult for me, please make it easy for me. And then prepare a timetable from before with your breaks, make up short notes. Skip topics that are time consuming for later. You know, study everything that's easy first, and then leave the things that are difficult for later. And then obviously you have to adjust your routine. So you make time for resting, sleep, your suhoor, your iftar, your taraweeh, time for revision. But make a proper timetable so that you can stick to it and you have like a goal in mind, right? And then if you feel that you are missing out on Ramadan, then you need to renew your intention. Because remember that gaining knowledge is also a part of our deen. You must renew your intention. Tell Allah that, you know, I feel like I'm missing Ramadan. Everyone else is doing so much more. But grant me reward because I'm gaining knowledge to help others. So we can be smart Muslims by changing all of this, because it is all in our head. And some people are actually more productive in Ramadan, because you are aware of the time constraints, and you're aware of Taraweeh and not missing your Salah. You actually become more productive in Ramadan, right? Remember, Allah's mercy is more. And the time after Fajr, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described this time as having the most amount of barakah. So I would say do most of your studying after this. This is a very important time. And don't compromise on your deen. Don't even give the children choice of not fasting. Especially if they are baligh. This is a huge sin. They can't miss fasting for a paper, right? We have to always choose. When we choose, our dunya has to come second. Deen must always top dunya. So if you are going to tell your child not to fast, you are implying that his dunya is more important than his deen. You need to explain to him that it's part of life. Many people have studied and have written exams in Ramadan, then they haven't died. They're all alive, they all have survived. You have to create this thinking that it's normal and it's a by the way thing. It shouldn't be the be all and end all of everything. And an interesting thing that I read was a footballer named Hussein Abdullah. He's a footballer in the US, and he was fasting during his games, and he was asked by many people that why do you fast if you're playing football? And his answer was really extraordinary. He said, I'm putting nothing before God, nothing before my religion. Football is something I choose to do, not something I have to do. So I'm always going to fast. That was brilliant. That answer was just brilliant, I thought. Because he was, obviously, you know, when you're running around, you get thirsty and you get hungry and you can look for excuses. We always look for excuses and loopholes and the easy way out. And this could have been easy for him. But he said that, you know, football is something I choose to do, not something I have to do, which is true. Studying, we choose to do it. It's not something that's further than compulsory. But our fasting is. It's one of our five pillars of deen. So we can't compromise on that at all. So if we have to prepare, we prepare beforehand and we be smart. You know, you need to be smart about these things. Watch how you're going to do it and help your children. Obviously, if they're not aware, show them how to do a planning, sit down with them, plan this exam with them so that they're not overwhelmed by it. Especially, I know the higher grades, the high schoolers, the parents get more anxious because they feel that, you know, they need that extra time to study. So we have this time now before Ramadan. Let them start studying, covering at least a few sections of what they are going to write on, or all if they can, and then just to revise in Ramadan. And don't compromise on the Taraweeh either. You don't know if this Ramadan is going to be your last Ramadan. That we aren't even sure of. We can die before Ramadan, you know. We don't even know if we're reaching it. So if we have the right intention, at least Allah is going to give us the reward of the full Ramadan, even if we are not present or we die before the Ramadan. So let us make the right intention and stick to it and ask Allah to help you. Dua is your weapon. So ask Allah to help you and ask Allah to make your exam easy for you. You will do incredibly well with Allah's help. Remember, when we choose deen over and over and over again, we never ever are going to be in the wrong. We never will regret it ever. But if you choose dunya, you'll always regret it. So let's remember these important, important aspects. And going back to the pure heart, our heart's supposed to be clean and sincere. The intention is supposed to be right. And inshallah, Allah help us all to clean our hearts and to make this a blessed and fulfilling Ramadan. Make it easy for all of us, those that are writing, those that are working, those that have all these ambitions to fulfill and all these goals to fulfill in Ramadan. Let Allah make it easy for us. Ask Allah to guide and accept every little bit of our ibadah, inshallah. If you have any input for our future programs, please message me or email me on suraya@radioislamlive.com. I have been receiving a lot of suggestions on future programs. Alhamdulillah, I really appreciate it. If you have questions or speakers that you would like on the show, please, you can email me on suraya@radioislamlive.com. We have come to the end of our program, alhamdulillah. Until next week, Tuesday, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.